Do you remember anything about China City? Because that was built about the same time that New Chinatown was built.
I think it was built just a little bit before the new Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
And it was built along the lines of a movie set, what Hollywood would think Chinatown should be like.
Mm-hmm.
The streets were zigzag.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly one story.
Mm-hmm.
Shops. Mm-hmm. And small restaurants, but it was quite a tourist attraction. And I think they even had rickshaws.
Mm-hmm.
In there, and young boys would pull the rickshaws.
Mm-hmm. How far did the rickshaws go, or was it just along that?
Just along those several lanes.
I see.
And there were art shops, mm-hmm. restaurants, and I think there was a linen shop. And there was one, the Lux had a tropical fish and goldfish shop there, remember that?
The Lux?
Yes, Charlie Lux.
And who were some of the other people who had...
Roland Gott's family ran a restaurant there. China City was kind of... not all level. The,
mm-hmm.
Spring Street side was a little higher.
Oh.
And then you step down into some sort of a courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gott family operated a small restaurant there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a place there called the Junk. And the inside was built like a Chinese junk, like
mm-hmm.
the interior was. And it was operated by Luke Chan. Luke Chan was, he did bits and movies.
Mm-hmm.
Forget whether it was I think it was after Prohibition was repealed, so it was operated like a bar and a
mm-hmm.
restaurant.
Oh. Do you remember anyone else?
Tom Gubbins. Tom
mm-hmm.
Gubbins was... Tom Gubbins had a big portion there. He had a costume shop there, a curio shop, art shop. And that same shop is now the art store operated by my wife and
mm-hmm.
her brothers.
Oh, I see. And what happened to that China City?
I think what happened to that eventually was that the new Chinatown was being built.
Mm-hmm.
And there it had a new look.
Mm-hmm.
The buildings were architecturally designed by a fairly well-known firm in town. And a great attention was paid to detail and tile roofs, curved up eaves,
mm-hmm.
and these pottery Hu dogs and,
mm-hmm.
and so forth, placed on the roof to
mm-hmm.
give it that real Chinese look. And it looked so much more substantial.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese themselves were very proud of the
mm-hmm.
new Chinatown. And the old factions, the Chinese, did not think China City was a credit
mm-hmm.
to the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to the new building.
Mm-hmm.
It was too much like a movie set, a Hollywood's idea.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the larger establishments and the investments went up to North Broadway. Mostly in China City were small shops and renters.
Mm-hmm.
They rented.
And who owned that?
And who owned it? I really don't know who
mm-hmm.
actually owned most of China City. I really don't know.
Yeah, so they, but it was just rented.
But the
out
new Chinatown gradually had the pull and
uh-huh.
Attraction,
mm-hmm.
and new Chinatown was more became more successful, and China City started to lose favor.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And then there was a fire or two in China City, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was never restored then? The fire destroyed?
Well, after the fire, I think it was slow. There was some rehabilitation there.
Mm-hmm.
They even had a little art gallery there, and there weren't too many artists in those
mm-hmm.
days. Tyrus Wong was one.
Mm-hmm.
There were some Japanese friends of his.
Mm-hmm.
Benji Okubo.
Mm-hmm.
Hidachi. And I exhibited several pieces of sculpture there. And George Chan
mm-hmm.
exhibited there. Small gallery, five or six artists. And there came this fire. And we
mm-hmm.
all lost everything we put there. And there was no insurance. Outside of the room. I think we should.
Now, how about the Chinatown that's on Spring Street? Now, when did that start in? Notice, you know, stores and the theater there and restaurants.
Yes, that came after China City sort of went down.
Mm-hmm.
And Spring Street development was more for Chinese food markets,
mm-hmm.
meat markets,
mm-hmm.
fish and poultry, restaurants,
mm-hmm.
medium size, and finally a Chinese motion picture theater.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to design that one,
mm-hmm.
called the Sing Lee Theater,
uh-huh.
and it seats maybe 400 people
uh-huh.
with a sloping floor.
Uh-huh.
And a stage, the owners wanted a stage suitable where they could have Chinese opera. So when they first opened, they had a full-fledged Chinese opera there with all the colorful backdrops.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the troupe came down from San Francisco, and they were all in their full color costume.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese orchestra on the stage. That was they played for I think several nights in this opening of the theater.
When was that? What year do you recall?
I don't recall. I imagine it was 62 or 3, somewhere
uh-huh.
around there.
Does it still have Chinese opera?
They do not know. They do not show the live opera there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They show only the Chinese motion pictures. And we haven't been back to see any of the pictures, but a friend that operates it tells me, he says, you ought to come back and see these pictures now. They're quite something, you know, the dialogue and
mm-hmm.
the, it's more modern.
Mm-hmm.
When you compare Chinese pictures with Japanese pictures, one of my strong preferences for Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to learn Chinese, too, to go to these Chinese movies, because they speak the real city tongue there and
uh-huh.
pick up.
Were there any special events when the new Chinatown was open on Broadway?
Yes, it was typical of enterprising new business to open up with a fanfare. They would have the lion dance, and I think even on New Year's, on several occasions, they may even have had the dragon dance,
mm-hmm.
which is a much larger, you know, takes more men to operate
mm-hmm.
the dragon. And then down the years, they've started this parade business.
Mm-hmm.
So I can remember when some of the dragons were internally lit with batteries and lights, you know, very effective. Then with the smoke of firecrackers and searchlight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and they hung lanterns in the streets and set up booths for food and
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing.
Now, how has Chinese culture influenced your life, or what effect has, you know, Chinese culture been on your life?
Well, if you're speaking of the field of architecture, you don't very often get a chance to do Chinese building, but mm-hmm. when called upon, I would try to have some influence of China creep in, whether it's in decoration or design.
Mm-hmm.
Try to do it in a subtle, low-key, mm-hmm. Restrained way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, since my wife's side of the family has always been in, they've been dealers in Oriental art,
mm-hmm.
I've always been around these things for mm-hmm. more than half my life, and have an increased appreciation for these things. Every object you pick up, when you realize that here, these are beautiful things created by artists that weren't called artists. They didn't wear smocks and berets. They just were gifted and were able to produce these wonderful things, and that was their daily life.
Mm-hmm.
So I do appreciate Chinese,
mm-hmm.
Oriental things. Japanese have contributed greatly.
Mm-hmm.
They take our calligraphy. The calligraphy is, although I can't do it well myself, but I can appreciate it when
mm-hmm.
a beautiful character is thrown by a brush, or sometimes by a piece of leather,
mm-hmm.
or even by finger painting,
mm-hmm.
even.
Mm-hmm.
So then you, I've always had a liking for the three-dimensional art.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I dabbled in clay and I did some sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go on trips, why, invariably that's the thing I spend more time with than the paintings.
Mm-hmm. Now, has this led you to any kind of group involvement with your interest in Chinese art, or?
Recently I've been involved with a unique museum in Pasadena called the Pacific Asia Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Formerly it was called Pacific Culture
mm-hmm.
Museum. And this is a unique small museum
mm-hmm.
With a 100% Chinese building, one of a kind. It was it's about 50 years old, and it is a beautiful building done in the Chinese palace style.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner of this building was a very successful importer
mm-hmm.
by the name of Grace Nicholson,
mm-hmm.
and she imported Oriental arts, became very successful.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted this building designed for her business, where she had galleries, she had living quarters there, she had guest quarters,
mm-hmm.
and an auditorium, and a garden.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, my involvement with this museum has been for 3 or 4 years. I'm a
mm-hmm.
director.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Chinese, and I'm the Chinese architect, there's a Japanese architect,
mm-hmm.
and our job is to maintain, to or do any remodeling, or preserve the building as
mm-hmm.
it was intended. Recently, we, especially after my trip to China, I came back very impressed with the courtyards in China,
mm-hmm.
and we saw an opportunity to take this 50-year-old garden at the museum and redo it
mm-hmm.
into an authentic Chinese courtyard.
Mm.
And the most wonderful thing was that a grant, a pretty substantial amount, was
mm-hmm.
given to us by the Braun, C.F. Braun family.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to make this a Chinese garden, we
This is the end of the duplicate of Tape 2, Side 2 of the interview with Gilbert Leung.